Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Dave Erfley, publisher and editor of the JuniorMinerJunkie.com. Dave, it's always great to get you on the show to discuss these markets, even if they're kind of ugly. We like to have you on and take a look at what the macro factors are and some of the technical levels you're watching. All things considered, with a lot of the general U.S. equities under pressure, gold has actually held up pretty well, and silver was in the danger zone, got a little above that 22 level. What's your technical outlook on the metals, where they're at right now and current pricing?
Yeah, Shad, thanks always for having me on. Always great talking to you. You know, basically, caution is still advised here for just about everything. You know, the macro backdrop remains conducive to sudden volatility in all asset classes. But yeah, the gold price is trying to stabilize here as the U.S. dollar has rolled over. What, 1850 it's trying to hold here now. We got all the way down to 1780 to 1800 region. I think it kissed 1785. You know, there's a lot of willing buyers down there. So, I mean, it's trying to stabilize here. So ever since the horrendous retail numbers came out of the U.S. last week, we're starting to see a decoupling. Gold and gold stocks are decoupling from the stock market. So even though the stock market is still moving a bit lower, the panic has subsided, it seems, and the S&P is bouncing off that Fibonacci 38.2 Fibonacci retracement, which is around 3,900, which is also a 20% sell-off from where it started to from where it topped earlier this year. So we're seeing an expected bounce here. But the gold price, you know, I mean, it still needs to get above certain levels. I mean, I still would not feel comfortable with gold not going lower until it gets back above 1900. And as far as silver is concerned, I'd like to see it get back at least over 20, 23, 24. But everything that's happening now is very constructive. I mean, it got ridiculously oversold. So, you know, there is room for more of a bounce here, but downtrend lines are still being respected in the GDX and the GDXJ as we speak here. And those open weekly gaps still remain. The GDX got into that latest open weekly gap, but it's still trying to hold below the downtrend line at 40. So I don't see any real impetus out there to get into to gold stocks right now.
Well, I guess when you look at the overall lay of the land in all sectors, I mean, we saw U.S. home sales were down almost 17%, the worst in 9 years on this morning's data. We've seen a lot of sectors just crash. Some of the social media stocks crashing today, Snapchat down 40% in one day, for example, but some of the other ones getting hit by 6 to 10%. So when you look at gold essentially flat on the year, maybe up slightly, but essentially flat on the year, it really has held up and decoupled just by not crashing like everything else. Unfortunately, the mining stocks haven't fared as well. What levels of support would you be watching for in GDX or GDXJ, I guess, as support you just want to see hold?
Well, on a weekly basis, weekly closing basis, that 30 level in GDX has been strong support and resistance going all the way back to when the sector bottomed in late 2015. So that 30 level is really important on the GDX. In GDXJ, it's trying to bounce off longer-term support at 35. So I wouldn't like to see the GDX get back below 30 on a weekly closing basis, because if it happens here on this move, then I think it's setting up for a sharper decline. And I don't think we'll have a sharper decline unless we see a sharper decline in the stock market. And basically, when you have a Federal Reserve that's taken away the punch bowl and telling people there's going to be pain and telling the market that they're going to keep raising rates until inflation comes down, you know, they're basically telling you to build up some cash because a recession is coming. The Fed's never been able to squeeze out inflation without causing a recession. And it's setting up to be a stagflationary one, which ultimately will be very bullish for the gold price. But until the concern of a washout waterfall decline in the market is gone, I think it behooves everyone to have a nice nest egg in U.S. dollar cash right here, even though, sure, I mean, it's being inflated away, but a market deleveraging can take away your cash a lot quicker, the value of your cash and your cash a lot quicker than inflation. So, you know, it's funny that you have this inflation in this in the system that is not going away, and I don't think the Fed can actually take it down very much with these rate hikes, because, you know, these supply issues are not going away, you know, and energy rising is not going away. So it's a very difficult position that previous Federal Reserve chairman have put the current Federal Reserve chairman in. It's funny. And when Ben Bernanke came out and said, yeah, the basically Fed's behind the curve, they made a mistake. They didn't raise soon enough. Well, he's the one that put us in this predicament in the first place by papering over everything during the financial crisis. So, you know, even though I feel a little sorry for Chair Powell here, you know, I mean, he has created a lot of the problem also by waiting too long to raise interest rates.
Yeah, it's interesting. Both Bernanke and Yellen did the exact same thing Powell did, but now they're saying, hey, buddy, you waited too long, but they're the ones that created the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, do you think that just because of the fact that gold has actually somewhat stabilized compared to other assets, that maybe some investors feeling the heat in the general markets, feeling their account values going down, may not just go to cash, but may actually put a small percentage into the safe haven of gold? Do you think there's any potential bid for the safe haven? Because we are seeing some buying coming in here. It's coming from somebody. So do you think that's a potential?
Oh, absolutely. That is a potential. But, you know, this is what happens in market deleveraging. You know, when you see the market going down slowly, then gold acts as a safe haven. Gold stocks get bids. Gold gets bid up. But when you see panic selling, when you see waterfall declines, when you see the Dow down over 1,000 points, that's panic selling, and everything gets sold. You know, gold is very easy and very liquid to sell quickly. And if you have, especially if you have a gain in it, because margin calls need to be met, you know. And I'm sorry, when these things take place, when these deleveraging occurrences happen, margin clerks become more powerful than central bankers. So, you know, even though everybody's expecting the Fed to pivot, we don't know when that pivot's going to happen. So the way they're talking now and the way they're committed to bringing down inflation, I don't see a pivot happening until at least they get it to 2%. And that will be at the following meeting in late July, which is also a time when you have the second quarter GDP number will be coming out right around the Fed meeting in late July, which I expect it to be negative. And if it is negative, that'll be back-to-back negative GDP numbers, which officially puts us into a recession. And if these inflation numbers start to come out, and they start to come out just a little bit lower, and it looks like they're starting to roll over, then the Fed's going to come out, because, I mean, let's face it, this is an election year. The last thing they want to see is the stock market crashing into November. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Fed start to pivot, you know, maybe even hint that they're going to stop raising rates maybe at the end of July, because I really don't see gold stocks getting much of a tailwind until the Fed announces that they're going to pivot or it starts pricing it in. Because let's face it, while the Fed was trying to convince everybody that inflation was transitory, the market was sniffing out that it wasn't, and it started to build these huge head and shoulders tops in the NASDAQ, in the Dow, in the S&P, and in Bitcoin. So while that was taking place, all these head and shoulders tops were forming. So the market is, you know, is a discount mechanism, and it sniffs these things out early. So I think the gold price and gold shares may start to sniff it out early, but we have to be prepared for a possible waterfall decline ending in gold stocks, you know, a capitulation type of event. You know, it's funny, I mentioned to you before we started this interview that my favorite David Morgan quote that about precious metals juniors, they either wear you out or scare you out. Those are the types of corrections that we have in this sector. Well, the current correction, it wore people out for 18 months, And now it may scare the rest of them out until it's over.
Yeah, it's definitely two forms of capitulation. We've had the wear out. Now we're getting the scare out. And if we do have a relief rally, or what some would call a sucker's rally in the general markets, and then it rolls over and has that waterfall decline, it probably will suck everything down with it. That'll hurt all sectors and potentially the miners as well. But if we back up from the United States and just look at the global stage, Dave, we also have the ECB that's hiking rates. We have the Bank of Canada hiking rates, and the ECB is just getting started. So those are some other central banks that are going to start their hiking cycles, their tightening cycles. But we also have China that's still coming out of its zero tolerance COVID lockdowns. And we have the Indian economy that's actually doing well and possibly putting a bid into some of the precious metals. So when you balance out the U.S. action with the global action, do you think there's any key takeaways there?
Yes, the Indian economy is doing really well. It's, I think the latest GDP report came out and it grew over 6%. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what I read. But, you know, the ECB saying they're going to raise rates, I mean, come on, let's face it. The European Central Bank has completely destroyed their bond markets with negative interest rates since 2014. Their pension system is completely destroyed. So they're the buyers of last resort. And in Japan also, they brag about being the buyers of last resort. They brag about buying most of their debt. So I still see the dollar being extremely strong after this correction. We just have to wonder is if the gold price is going to go up with the dollar like it did before. I mean, that $100 level on the DXY is the level to watch. Gold and the dollar were going up together until that 100 level was breached. And then once that 100 level was breached, the war premium started to come off on gold very quickly. And that's also when the stock market began to roll over. But I do want to add one more thing about this bounce that's taking place here. You know, we talked about this off mic also. I'm concerned about the bounce taking place in everything here into the next Fed meeting. And that's going to be in mid-June. And I think if the Fed comes out and they're just as uber hawkish as they have been, and they maintain their goal of another 50 basis point rate hike in July, and maybe even hint of a 75 basis point hike, that's when this possible waterfall decline could start. Maybe right after Fed speak at the end of that week, or the next week, the week of June 20th. I think that's when you could possibly see this take place.
Yeah, David, it is definitely going to be all eyes on the Fed policy. It is the prime mover right now in the markets, and people's even expectations of what they're going to do are moving the markets. Until then, while we wait until the June meeting, just one more piece of data that may be nice to review is some of the COT readings, the copper report. It does seem like the commercial shorts in silver have reduced their exposure a great deal, which some people think could be bullish for a short-term move in silver. And in gold, to a lesser extent, a lot of the short positions are drying up. Do you think that's at least constructive, let's say, in the near term?
Absolutely. It's very constructive. I mean, all the specs have been washed out here. I mean, if you take a look at gold, they're at 176,000 contracts, which is close to where recent bottoms took place. I mean, the previous bottom was 172,000 contracts, and then before that was 168,000 contracts. So it's in that neighborhood, and we also have options expire tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see if the gold price can maintain that 1850 level tomorrow as options come off, because I'm sure there's plenty of options there at 1850 that they'd like to get out of the money.
Well, and just one more question. As we get close to the month end, are there any levels that you want to see held by, you know, this time next week?
I'd like to see 1850 held. Absolutely. Yeah, I'd like to see a weekly close this week above 1850. And it would be nice to see a monthly close above 1900, but I don't know if I'm going to get it.
Okay. Well, we'll keep tabs on it. I'm sure we'll be talking next week. We'll see how the month wraps up. But until then, maybe some of that COT data and some of the Indian buying may buoy the precious metals, at least the metals, for a little while. And we'll keep our eyes out for what comes from the Fed or anything they get from the minutes tomorrow when we get the Fed minutes. So until then, we'll talk to you next week, Dave. Always appreciate having you on the site. And if people like getting Dave's thoughts, definitely check out the link below this to take you over to the juniorminerjunkie.com website. Dave, thanks so much for spending some time with us at the KE Report.
Always a pleasure, Chad. Thanks a lot and have a good weekend.